Welcome to Facilitating the Mission, the podcast of Shepherd Staff Mission Facilitators. My name is Brian Mondock.
And my name is Jeff Jackson.
So this is the time of year that people do resolutions and personal inventory. Are you a resolutions guy?
I'm really not. You know, yeah. I don't think I really ever have been. I'm just kind of like, nah. If it's interesting, if it's needful to be done, I just do it whenever I need to do it. I don't wait for the beginning of the year or get a fresh start. I'm just not wired that way.
I think the only resolution I ever really made and kept was about 30 years ago. I made a resolution to quit smoking. Mm-hmm. And then that was so stressful, like 2 weeks after that, I got saved. So, and back then it wasn't cool to be a Christian and smoke. So
that's right.
So I totally kept that resolution. So other than that, if I think I need to do something or make a change and I'm serious about it, I just start doing it.
Exactly. That's how I am too.
Well, but even so, one of the things that I've done is instead of doing like a resolution is kind of like a yearly theme. I kind of take inventory and I'm like, what is it that really needs to change in my life? Or what is it I think that the Lord's putting his finger on in my life? And a lot of people are doing that. I know that, you know, for me personally, the Lord started working on my missionary journey about this time of year, years ago, you know, around that. What does the Lord want to do with me in missions? And, you know, at the time I was a missions pastor, and it seems like that's where I needed to be, but it actually became the beginning of going into the mission field. So just some different things that God had his finger on in my life that I felt like, man, I'm called to do this. Is there any kind of a framework for that?
Yeah, you know, I think there is. You know, I think you know, there's biblically, there's a framework for, you know, pretty much anything God's going to call us to do in this world. And obviously it's just framework, it's principles. The actual details need to be worked out, but, you know, kind of just tracking along the same lines with you. I think this is the time of year where, you know, at Shepherd Staff, we get a lot of inquiries from people about the possibility of going on to the mission field or parting for the mission field, like in the new year. And a lot of it is crystallized, you know, over the holidays and most of them, I would say, you know, have been people that took short-term trips in the last couple of years, certainly more than one, but sometimes just one. And that trip or other circumstances have moved them to believe God may be calling them to become a missionary. And what I mean by that is, you know, where they're thinking like, hey, God may be calling me to leave this country. And to go outside the boundaries of the United States, you know, to represent him and help expand his kingdom. And so, you know, so basically it's kind of that whole realm of, hey, how do I know if I'm called to be a missionary? Those kind of inquiries that we get, you know, I generally point people to, you know, Acts 13 as the first few verses of Acts 13 is sort of the base text for that.
Interesting.
The reason I do that is because, I mean, to me, I find it interesting that clearly the God of the Bible is the missionary God from cover to cover, and the church is his primary vehicle, you know, for reaching the nations, accomplishing his in-game global purposes. So you would think if that's true, then there's got to be a model of the calling, a specific calling to be a missionary, and the way that interrelates with being a member of a church. And so I find it interesting that the only place where we have an example of that, like in practice, is in the book of Acts chapter 13, you know, with the church at Antioch.
Yeah, I just punched that up in my handy dandy Google browser and a Google browser on the interwebs. And saw that that's the story of the Holy Spirit said, now separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work which I've called them.
And that's the key. So what I've done is, you know, and there may be somebody listening to this that's thinking that, like I said, they've gone on a short-term trip, or even if they haven't, they've been working in their local community, maybe cross-culturally or whatever, and they get God's heart for the nations, and they know missionaries, and they love missionaries, and now they're sensing God may be calling them to leave it all behind and go. You know, is there a framework for that? And I would say, yeah, it comes from there. And that's actually one of the key principles is actually the verse that you just read, where the Holy Spirit there in Acts 13 said to Paul and Barnabas and the other three leaders. So it wasn't just, there was a personal call for those two guys, but it was a clear calling to the other people that were there also, that I want these two for the work. You know, in fact, I wrote a blog post on this a while back on basically three principles for discovering if you're called to be a missionary. And it's good to kind of walk it through again, because basically what's said there is set them apart for the work that I've called them to do. And so when I hear people say, I think I'm called to be a missionary and it's to this place or this people, you know, I always go, wait a minute, I get that. I understand that you know where you want to go and who you think you want to reach, but what's the work that God's called you to do? And usually it's at that point where they haven't been provoked to think like that before. Then I said, so for example, God's a wise God. He's a good steward of all. And so you have life experience. You have educational background. You have vocational background. You've got experience in the ministry. You know, you've got this inventory that God has stocked you with right now. And so therefore, God's calling you to expand his kingdom around the world outside of your own context, your own country. It would make sense that he's going to call you to do something that he's already given you somewhat an inventory to do.
Okay, so let me ask you this. If somebody's, you know, that in mind,
yes,
there's the people that are like, I know very specifically what I would do. I would go over there and here's what I did and here's what I was successful at and here's the need I see. And I've had these conversations and boom, boom, boom. This is kind of what the job description looks like. But then there's the personality that's like, well, I'm just going to go over there. And I think when I get there, God's going to show me what it is. And how do you respond to that? I mean, God doesn't work in my life that way. God, you know, he's built me very, I got to know what I'm going to go do when I get there before I sell my house, sell my furniture, sell my kids. Oh no, they're coming with. but I got to know all those things. And am I not spiritual?
No, actually that is spiritual.
Oh, good.
I mean, God is a good steward. And God is a God who plans and does things in a wise way. And so the answer to that, and I get that a lot. What are you going to, you know, what's the work that you're going to do over there? Well, I'm just going to serve Jesus and love the people, share the gospel. I said, well, that's what everybody's supposed to do. Are you doing that right now? Does there need to be one more person over there just doing that?
Oh,
I mean, that's what any Christian minimum requirement for being a Christian is: be a servant, love people, share the gospel. But what's the specific work that's going to give you on-ramps into people's lives? And usually God, again, doesn't waste anything. So there's ministry experience. I mean, there's vocational experience. There's education. There is ministry experience. There's certain things that help expand the kingdom over there. And you have an inventory to contribute in that way. And of course, you're going to share your faith. But the reason for going over there and, you know, and to stay over there is, well, I'm just going to share Jesus with them. No. What's the means? What's the vehicle that's going to endear you, connect you with those people? And people aren't, you know, they think it, they kind of, I don't know, it's just that whole, it's sort of the whole secular sacred divide that we have in America, that, well, God, what really God wants me to do is tell them about Jesus rather than fix the engine in their car. So it gets into some theological issues. But I'd say, you know, from what I've seen, and again, my personal experience over the years, that first principle is, look, what are you going to do over there? What's the work that God's called you to do? And normally, like I said, you're not going to have to go and add more inventory to your life in order to be doing what God's called you to do over there. You've already got the inventory. You just need to fine tune it. You need to rethink it, maybe learn how to reapply it.
So let's dwell on this just a little bit longer. Something that happens when you go on a short-term trip, especially if it's successful, is this honeymoon thing. So are you really challenging? Are you like in a honeymoon phase, or is this really God calling?
Yeah. And I think you have to be realistic with people that are feeling called to go, because understand that what you're doing during your short-term trip over there is not the way real life is there on a day-to-day basis, any more than what you did over there while you're 10 days on the ground over there Is that indicative of what you do every day in your life here and what your church is doing every day here? No, right? So what happens is we tend to go over on these short-term trips and, oh, we do this and we do that and we share with this many people and we do this great work or whatever it is, whatever the specific task the team was doing. And we think that that's how it's going to be all the time. And once we get over there, that's what we're going to be doing all the time. But that isn't the way you live your life here. That isn't the way that people live their life over there. It's an event. It's a moment in time. But it's the day in, day out, relationship building life.
Yeah, that difference makes a lot of sense.
It's a huge difference. And that's why you always have to ask somebody that's feeling this call, look, do you have a track record doing here what you think you're going to do over there? How many people did you share Jesus with here last week? How many people did you go out of your way to serve here? If you're not doing it here, what makes you think you're going to do it over there? Because you did it on a short-term trip? That's sort of a virtual reality experience almost.
Yeah. It's an arranged yes. event.
Yeah. So those are, you know, that's an important thing. So, what I do is I say, look, the first principle, you know, based on this biblical text is the Holy Spirit said, set them apart for the work that I've called them to do. What is the work that God's called you to do?
Good stuff.
Then I say, okay, then where is the need for that work that God's called you to do? Once you know kind of what God's gifted you to do based on the inventory of experience he's given you, then what do you bring to the table from that inventory that can be helpful for some outpost of his kingdom somewhere else in the world, a church plant or whatever? Maybe you're a mechanic, maybe you're a teacher, maybe you're an accountant. It's funny because there were a couple of people who were medical professionals here, a husband and wife that were medical professionals here. And I don't want to be too specific, but basically they had the need for their medical profession overseas, but they went to another country as missionaries. They tried to run a Bible college because they thought, you know, it seemed like, well, that was really spiritual. That's what's really impacting the kingdom. And so now you got people that don't have a background in running a Bible college. They're not teachers within the church, you know, but, you know, they sort of saw their medical profession as like not real ministry, not meaningful, not significant, not kingdom impacting. And that's just crazy thinking.
And not just because they're doctors, but it's what God made them to do.
Absolutely. Do you think you wasted all those years going to the schools that you went to and all the jobs, the companies you worked for here and stuff? It's like that's maybe the topic for a subject, a podcast subject downstream. But in the world of missions, the whole sacred secular divide is wiped away. But it should be wiped away from everybody. But it gets carried into the missions world.
Personally, for me, just real quick, on a couple of different occasions, things started out on a short-term trip and through relationships built on those trips, I got recruited because of certain skills that became evident on the field.
Yes.
And so I think that's also a good indicator of what the work is. And then also a calling is, you know, are they asking you to, I mean, is there an invitation?
Yeah, exactly.
And so, I mean, I don't know that we see that exactly in that verse, that there's an invitation for those guys.
Well, they were doing pioneer church planting work. But even that, I mean, that's a specific calling based on the inventory that those two guys already possessed.
Right. And then I think that'll lead into some of these other two principles.
Yeah. So that's the first principle. The second is that, yeah, I mean, the call to be a missionary, clearly God spoke to Paul and Barnabas there. They heard the Holy Spirit say to them, you know, this is what I want you to do. And again, you don't want to move people towards the mission field because they think it was what God wants them to do. There's got to be like this personal conviction by the Spirit of God that this is what my calling on your life, and this is what it's going to cost. And this is where I'm going to use you. It's kind of like when I was in the military, you know, you were in the military, and this has been really helpful for me since I've become a Christian after I got out of the military. But basically, when you go in the military, right, you and the Marines, me and the Army, uh-huh. I mean, you're going in to do a specific job. You get tested. You sign up for a job. But ultimately, once you swear in, they can put you wherever they want.
Right.
And there's a mentality that you have to have is, you know, hey, we used to have this thing called dream sheets. So when I went into 76, you know, I finished basic training. I went to my advanced training.
Yep.
I'm finished up. Now they give you a dream sheet. Where would you like to be stationed? Hawaii, you know, Germany or whatever. And then they tell you, here's your dream sheet. You can write it down all you want, but Uncle Sam's going to put you where Uncle Sam thinks you're most valuable.
Right. And it's because there's an opening there. There's an open billet.
There's an open and there's a need.
And you're trained to do it.
So you wind up, you know, your mentality has to be, this isn't where I want to be by choice. I wouldn't be here, but this is where the military has put me for the sake of the cause.
You know, let me just share this real quick. You know, when I filled out my dream sheet, you know, I put, there are three zones that you can pick for us Marines in my field. And, you know, so the first zone I picked was West Coast, because I'm from the West Coast, you know, from California. Yeah, yeah. The next was overseas, you know, because I wanted to, you know, maybe go overseas. And then the third and very last choice in the universe was East Coast. And guess what I got? East Coast.
Yeah.
But God got me the things that happened to me because he did that thing that I, you know, he called me there and it changed my life once I went to the East Coast. I know that in the future for Paul and Barnabas, there's some real problems for those guys. That doesn't change the calling.
Yeah. Well, and it goes back to our culture, which we've brought into the kingdom, where our starting point is, Lord, this is what I'd like you to do for me, rather than, Lord, what do you want me to do? You know, if your starting point is, this is what I want, this is my desire, this is my dream, rather than, okay, Lord, you're my king, you're my master, you gave your life for me, where do you want me? What do you want me to be doing? It changes everything. And so that whole, and even after I came back from the field, I wanted to go back to the field. And but again, because of my military, because of now my growth in the Lord, I just said, okay, Lord, I really don't want to be back in Southern California, but I want to be where I'm most useful for your kingdom. My desire is to be over there, but my greater desire is not to be where I want. My greatest desire is to be in a place where I can bring you the glory you deserve. So put me where I'm most useful.
It's so wise, because, you know, the bottom line, God knows.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's a paradox. You think you know, but God really knows, and right. He only wants good things for you, and He loves to have you part of His end game mission as much as you want to be involved in it. And
yeah, and it goes back to that, you know, the parent-child thing. I use that a lot as an analogy to try to understand complex spiritual stuff. You're a parent, you have a child, 5 or 6, you know what's better for your 5 or 6-year-old than they do. Now, they're convinced that they don't, or even up into your teenagers when they're teenagers, right? But ultimately, you know, you know, if you do this, this is going to benefit you over here. Well, I don't want to do that. Well, trust me, if you do it, you're going to understand somewhere downstream that this was really best for you. So it comes back to, do you trust me?
So principle number 2 is direct unction, conversation, calling between you and the Lord. You know that you and the Lord, you've heard from the Lord. You have.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're married, that confirmation, that calling is mm-hmm. going to be on you and your wife. Now, the wife doesn't have the same exact calling as the husband. She has to be willing to be the helpmate to her husband. I mean, that's some dicey ground there, I know. But the idea that, hey, the work that God's called the husband to do, the wife has to be on board and hear the Holy Spirit saying, yeah, this is what I want your husband to do, and you're a part of him. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. you have to be willing to do that too, to do whatever it takes to obey the calling that I put on you.
It's unfortunate that it's become dicey ground, but the same principle applies, is that just like, you know, God cares about the man, He cares just as much about the wife. And this is good stuff God wants to do. I mean, I think back to what happened with us when we went in the mission field. My wife, she will not fly to save her life. But when we were called to the mission field, this is what we're going to do. And she did it, you know, not because she's like Miss Submissive and I'm Tarzan and she's Jane. It's like, you know, this is what God's doing and this is going to be cool. I mean, we knew what we were going to go do, but we didn't know the future. And so just that unit of husband and wife, man, you're right. You know, God works with the two of them.
Yeah. And what's so interesting about the text, it lays out the fact who the five leaders of that church were, Paul and Barnabas and the other three guys. Mm-hmm. And then as they're fasting and as they're praying and waiting on the Lord, the Holy Spirit speaks to all five of them.
Yeah.
And says, I want these two. So that's the third principle is, you know, the first principle is, hey, you know, what's the work that you sense God's calling you to do? Second is, you got to have a personal calling. There's got to be a clear conviction mm-hmm. that this is what the Holy Spirit's calling you to do. And then third, if he is calling you to do that, he's going to let other people in on that calling.
Right.
In other words, those five heard it so that it wasn't just them saying, the two guys that got it, hey, this is what God's called us to do. Well, we haven't heard from the Lord. Your calling was confirmed to us.
Right.
And that then puts us in a role to play too, because it's not our calling, it's your calling, but we're crucial to you fulfilling your calling.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's not like God's telling the leaders, but not telling Paul and Barnabas. You know, it's not like the leaders are like, Paul and Barnabas, I really think God's calling you. And well, we haven't heard from the Lord, and vice versa. It wasn't like Paul or Barnabas saying, I think we're going to go church plant. And the leaders aren't like, are you crazy? You'll never be a, you know, that's not how the conversation's going. There's unity. It's natural. It's supernaturally natural.
Absolutely. And then the other thing I emphasize is, you know, they're part of that's the leadership team of a local church. So they've got real meaningful relationships with one another between the five of them. You know, they had relationships with the other members of the church. And what I've seen is when God is calling somebody to be a missionary, there's that personal call. There's certainly the call, the confirmation of the calling to the leaders of their church. And what I mean by that is, it depends on the size of the church, but if you're in a small church, you know, you probably are serving there in some capacity. You know the pastor. If you're in a large church, you're in some ministry of the church. You've got supervisors that sort of oversee you in whatever ministry. And as you're living out your faith and you've taken the short-term trip and God's stirring your heart, the people that know you are going to see what God is stirring. And so one of the things that I tell people is listen, if you go to the people that you serve alongside, if you're a Sunday school teacher and you go to your fellow Sunday school teachers, or you know, you're a parking lot attendant or you're on the security team or whatever. And you see these people week in, week out, you know them. If you come to them and say, hey, I think God may be calling me to go to Africa. And they kind of go, wow, that's a complete surprise. That may be an indicator that something is off at this point. Uh-huh. In other words, your interest in what God's doing around the world, your passion, if you went on a short-term trip or even if you didn't, there will be indicators in your life, characteristics of a calling that when you share God's calling, you sense God's calling to go, the people that know you're going to go, ah, well, that makes sense. You're always talking about that. You've been interested in that. You pray for this and that.
Okay. One little challenge I want to toss out to you there.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So you're the called person, you're in a relationship with the church, and you sense God's calling, your church leaders sense God's calling, but then you start to share with people in your greater circles of influence, maybe your parents, maybe family mm-hmm. members, maybe old friends. What about if those guys give you a contrary message?
Well, I think you have to gauge it by the level of connectedness you have with them.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, it would be more like if you only see somebody every 6 or 8 weeks and then, you know, from the last time you saw them until now or whatever, you've decided God's calling me to go and you tell them that, of course, they may be surprised because you're only seeing them, you know, occasionally. But for those that you have this ongoing sort of interactive relationship with, serving alongside or serving with or serving over or working people you work with or whatever, mm-hmm. even if they're unbelievers, you know, they're going to a call to be a missionary to go leave America and go to another country. That's not something that happens like bing instantaneously. Mm-hmm. It's the byproduct of a procession that God has brought somebody on. So I would put credibility in it, but it would, I would limit the weight I would give it based on the depth and the ongoing continuity of the relationship.
So in principle three, you as an individual know you're called based on principle two. Principle three is your church leaders, the people that you're doing ministry, that you're rubbing shoulders with, that know your life, your Christian life, they understand. But as that circle, as your circle of influence kind of, you know, you're in other conversations, you can't 100%. I guess the point I'm trying to make is that not 100% of the people are going to be on board with it.
No, you know, not at all.
Aren't there churches over there?
Right. You're always going to have opposition.
Why would you ever leave America? You know, you can't gauge those kinds of answers as, I mean, you really can't gauge those kinds of answers as affecting your call at all, I guess is what the point I'm trying to
make. No, you can't. You can't put a lot of weight in them because you're going to get those kind of answers. You're going to get that kind of pushback even from believers.
Yeah.
Maybe in your own church they don't really know you, or they don't clearly understand the role of the local church and what God's doing around the world. And even like from in my own example, you know, the last job I had before I went on staff with my church and then went to the mission field a year and a half later, the guys that I work with who are unbelievers, you know, they knew because I talked about it. I shared my faith with them. We worked alongside one another. On the weekends, I was going to Tijuana and doing ministry down there. I had taken a short-term trip, you know, over here. So even unbelievers, there's this, so that at the time when I went back and told them, hey, you know, I'm going to take my wife and kids. We're moving to the Central Philippines. They're like, oh, well, gee, of course. You know, you've always been interested in that kind of stuff.
For me, it's, I can remember when we were deciding to go to South Sudan, my father came unglued.
Yes.
You know, and at that time, he never really understood, you know, my walk with Jesus. I think that he was always waiting for the phase to end. I mean, he doesn't feel that way anymore, but at the time, he kind of did. But then I had this uncle that I had very little relationship with, and I really don't think that he's walking with the Lord. I mean, I think there was church that was part of his heritage as a boy, but when he heard we were going to Africa, he sat down and sent me a $500 check, and I promise I hadn't heard from the guy in a decade.
Yeah.
And you know, I saw that as God's provision and confirmation. Yes. However, when my dad opposed what I was doing, you know, my dad wasn't really on board when I told him I wanted to tithe either at one point. So,
exactly.
So I kind of had to, you know, I wasn't looking for a confirmation of calling in that relationship. And Dad, I love you. If you listen to this, just trying to make a point, but
yeah. So I think, you know, those three things, if somebody's wondering, hey, am I called to go? Here's a biblical basis for determining if God's calling you. These things should be in place. And understand, it's a call to work. Don't just, you know, just this idea that somehow it sounds spiritual. I'm just going to do whatever happens. Well, of course you're going to do whatever happens. I'm just going to serve and love him in the name of Jesus. Well, of course you're going to do that.
Right.
But what are you going to do with the inventory you have, the work that is going to contribute to the kingdom of God expanding and touching people's lives?
This is such practical advice you're giving, Jeff.
It's got to be practical because, and you know how it is. I mean, again, former military, you know, you've been on the field. You get out there, man. It's like, it ain't like the short-term trip.
Uh-uh.
It's day in, day out, life on life. No whiz-bang stuff going on.
And there are other guys out there, you know, from other places that aren't called.
That's right.
And it's very evident, and it's very, very important to work through this between you and the Lord, with your spouse, if you're married, and your church leaders, the ones that know you the most. And then also, if you're going to partner, if you're not pioneering something, you're going to, you know, to work alongside someone that, like, maybe you're on a short-term trip with them, there's got to be that invitation. There's got to be that, you know, you click.
Well, and again, if you use the military analogy, the reason I landed in northern Japan for a year and a half is because Uncle Sam, there was a need in northern Japan for what I had been trained to do. And so he sent me there. I didn't choose to go there. So in the same way, you know, the calling to go to the mission field, God's not going to just call you to go to somebody to do something on the ground that's never been done before. Unless you're called to be specifically a church planter, pioneer, ground up guy, and very few people are, you're going to go and begin participating in whoever, with whatever else he's already got going on the ground there. And there will be a confirmation process from that end also. And a recognition, you know, one of the most important things that I, you know, learned years ago when I used to do, you know, conflict resolution stuff is we're notorious for agreeing to something before we understand what we're agreeing to.
Yeah.
Christians are notorious for hearing something and agreeing to do it before they understand what exactly am I agreeing to? Because it sounds mm-hmm. spiritual. We're all mm-hmm. in agreement here. We're having unity. Well, then wait a minute. This isn't the job that I was expecting to do. Well, mm-hmm. you didn't explain to me what you could do, so I plugged you into where our need is.
And on the recruiter's end, it's the same thing. Is like, wow, you were really cool on this short-term trip. We like, you know, we had a great time at coffee. And, yeah. you know, sometimes there's a lack of experience on the recruitment side.
That's right.
People in the field, you know, they've grown to the place where they need more than just them.
Yeah.
There can be, you know, that needs to be tested as well. That all those things need to be spelled out. That's probably a whole nother podcast.
It is.
That goes beyond the three principles, but it really goes, you know, it gets, that goes back to the work. You know, what's the work? Mm-hmm. What does the work look like?
And for some reason, like what I've seen is like, we tend to, again, because of our secular sacred divide that we navigate by, we tend to think, hey, I'm going to be a missionary. I'm going to go over here that if that guy writes a job description for me, that somehow it's no longer sacred. It's a job description. Well, I'm not there to do a job. Well, yes, you are.
Yep.
There's a task that needs to be done to represent God and expand his kingdom. So the more you understand what the task is that you're going to go there to do the work, the less likely it is that you're going to have conflict. And that you're going to be able to work unified. But somehow even the title of the concept of a job description catapults it into the secular realm. And well, we're Christians and missionaries, so we don't need that. Because we're all just spiritual, listening to Jesus.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. To learn more about becoming a missionary with Shepherd Staff, go to ssmfi.org/join. Connect with us on Facebook or Twitter by searching @ShepStaff on either platform.